Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, Thomas.
Shut the hell up.
Come on.
Hello, Thomas.
I like it.
Okay.
I'm very excited, buddy.
What's your first story?
Can we just talk? Why is it like, oh, what's... Let's get down to business.
Small talk. Let's get down to business.
Let's not get down to business.
All right, what do you want to talk about? Yeah, typical. I just want to sit here and look at you.
No, I don't want to do.
Okay.
I made plans to head out to the Grand Canyon in April to do the rim to rim to rim, which I'm very excited about.
Who are you going with?
Ross Chapman and like six or seven of his folks from his department.
Dang.
So it will be something.
Are you going to go work for his department then too?
No.
No friends on this department?
No. I actually tried to get on his department for a really long time. They didn't want me. So nanner nanner boo boo.
Okay.
Stick your head in doo doo.
Okay. Edit that out.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, man.
What's going on with you? How are your holidays? This is what normal friends do. They talk about things.
Pretty low key.
Pretty low key. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Just family here. Open some presents.
Cool, man. Just get to the story. Get to the story.
Florida man arrested following argument. Florida man arrested following argument about how to clean a cast iron skillet.
Ooh.
Ain't the first time that's happened in the firehouse, and won't be the last. However, in this case, he threatened the guy's life with a knife. Allegedly held a 6-inch blade to another man's throat.
Wow.
That's how people get killed.
Is
cleaning a cast iron skillet with soap.
You don't want to lose that seasoning.
What's being described as a joke that went too far about how to clean a cast iron skillet has left one Florida firefighter on admin leave. According to court documents, Orlando firefighter Latif Williams held a knife up to his coworker's throat after the crew joked about cleaning the cast iron skillet with dish soap. Orlando firefighter Over Sejas had been cleaning the dishes after a meal with the crew on September 16th when some of the firefighters began joking about the proper way to clean a cast iron skillet. Amidst the jokes, the arrest report stated that that firefighter Williams said, "You don't do that around here," and placed a roughly 6-inch blade to Sejas' throat.
You want to do
That's
that.
How people get killed, he told Sejas. Williams then released Sejas and told him he was joking, noting how he used the dull side of a blade.
I don't think that if you put, whether it's the dull or the sharp side of a knife up against someone's throat, I think that's pretty for serious. It's definitely about a cast iron skillet, by the way.
Man, you don't clean that shit with soap. Actually, I do all the time. Well, I don't clean it purposely with soap. It's just like the scrubbers sometimes have it, you know.
Yeah, but like what is seasoning, right?
Well, you got to put it in the oven, do all
that's
that.
That's what
right?
I'm saying.
Nobody's doing that anymore.
No.
At least not here.
Well, no, but like, oh, it's seasoned. Oh, is it really? Because it looks like there's a bunch of dirty, nasty old food on
your eggs
cast iron.
Crusted on that. So...
Yeah.
And guess what? You know, whatever you cook in there, you're going to put some oil on it anyway. So,
yeah.
Seasoned. So,
I like that when it's like, oh, that grill out there, it's seasoned. I'm like, oh, yeah, oh, is it? It looks like shit.
You know, the best way to season a grill is leave it on after you cook lunch and forget about it until you realize the next morning when you're going off, it's been on all night. Oops.
That's never happened.
Never.
That happened so much in my last apartment. They put timers on the gas. Whatever, on the outside of the buildings. It was brilliant.
So, like, how long? You could adjust them?
It was like a little timer.
Probably good.
It's probably a pretty good idea. Okay. That's one of those things that I think is one of those, like, male myths. We were like, ah, well, burn it off.
Right.
No, you're not. You're not burning that off.
You're basically in the clean cycle every time you use it.
Yeah.
Oven cleaning. Grill cleaning.
Grill cleaning. All right. You want me to go?
Yeah. All right. You can bring the serious stories that, you know, aren't any fun.
I don't know if they're not any fun. I just think they're...
It's good to get out there.
Thought-provoking.
All right.
Residents say Detroit firefighters saved no one before leaving home to burn. The basic story of this is there was in Detroit, in the Highland Park neighborhood, they had a multifamily structure fire. And the incident commander made the decision that to pull everybody out because they were losing it. And now this is what I'm gathering from the journal article, but the person's home or the one of the residents who was inside the multifamily was livid that they were pulling firefighters out.
Okay.
Okay. And basically Firehouse wrote this article that seems to be kind of like lambasting the Detroit Fire Department, which I find.
Who in Firehouse? I mean, I wouldn't say Firehouse. There's got to be it's an editorial or?
Yeah.
Or is it just somebody that submitted an article?
Oh, it doesn't have anyone's name on it.
Dang. Is Firehouse Magazine still around?
I mean, I have the
online
version.
Okay.
I mean, it sounds like there were some people that were arguing, some Detroit firefighters that were arguing about whether they were going to get pulled out or not on the front lawn. Mm-hmm. And then a decision was made to pull everybody out.
Okay.
What made this interesting to me was that from what has recently transpired in Colorado and what I assume is going to start to happen is that we're going to start to be in the spotlight when things don't go the way the public thinks they should. And like, how should we respond to that?
So can we be held criminally liable? That's your question.
Because
that's what matters. Can we be held criminally liable?
I think being held liable by the general consensus of your town or your stakeholders, however you want to say it.
But there's a difference between civil and criminal. Most districts and municipalities will cover any employee civilly. They can't cover you criminally.
So I guess the reason I brought this up is that clearly this is now starting to snowball. Is there any place for public opinion changing our tactics?
Well, let me back up. I think what we're seeing, what the problem here is that you're going to be judged on, were you trained on this? It seems to be the play by lawyers. Did you receive training? And if so, if you didn't perform to that training standard, you can be judged or critiqued or held liable.
See, I think we're being judged on outcome, right? So let's say that you have a fire department, they go to a structure fire, they do terribly, and miraculously the fire goes out for whatever reason. Right? They go in and they get dumb luck. And you have another one where they perform perfectly and it just doesn't go right.
I think the house burns down. Yeah, I know, but I think the only way that this really becomes an issue is if a life is lost or severely injured, right? I don't think that property or the loss of it is going to put somebody individuals in a bad spot. It's when it comes to somebody dying.
Our job is incredibly dynamic when it comes to the ability to get into a lot of places when we're at a structure fire. Do you think that at some point we'll be held liable for not being able to get in and save someone?
Are we talking getting access into just a building, like a gate, or are you talking getting in a door inside?
Yes, all of it. Like all these three people that were inside.
I don't think you can, if there's, let's just talk about access into a structure or just to get next to a building. I don't think so. If you can't get in, you can't get in. You know, that's got to be the responsibility of whoever
owns
creates
that
barrier.
Right.
As far as a house that's on fire, I mean, we have so many avenues where we can get in. I just don't know if that's ever going to become a...
Yeah, but let's say that smoke and fire conditions are saying that is a unsearchable space.
So will we...
Yeah. From an outsider's perspective, you have all this fancy gear. Why can't you get in there? You know what I'm saying?
It's comical because it's fucking true right now.
I know.
You know? Yeah. Now, well, you got the gear. Get in there.
Well, like, oh, technically, this says that.
I think there's some truth to that, right? You got the gear on. Get your ass in there.
But, I agree with you.
Yeah, there's time and place, I guess, you know, circumstances and fire growth and what's inside and construction, under construction, all that.
I think the best thing that we can do as a work group is we need to take our training more serious now than we've ever taken it before. If no other reason than obviously the tier one reason is that's what we signed up for. Mm-hmm. And that's what the citizens expect out of us. And you want to go home and you want your brothers and sisters to go home in the morning. That is and always will be the tier one reason why training's important. But now there's like the second tier reason where I don't want to go to jail. You know what I'm saying? Like, not
that
like
doesn't motivate you, right?
If that doesn't motivate you, like,
well, if there's a possibility of you going to jail, then you need to start paying people a lot more.
True.
Right?
True.
If you're saying that firefighters can go to jail for possibly not saving someone's life in a very stressful and chaotic environment that's unpredictable, then you got to pay them a lot of money. If you're going to expect a lot, you got to pay a lot.
And that goes vice versa.
Money, and the money's like your life savings is not the same as a life, but you invest your life savings with a banker and he loses it all. Is he going to jail? Like, and he loses it, right? Just to, you know, doing his job. He didn't take the money for himself, right? Well, firefighter's just doing his job, and maybe he just didn't take the risk you thought he should have taken, you know? So he loses all your money. Is he going to jail? No, he's not going to jail. He just maybe doesn't have a job.
What are your thoughts on EMS and firefighters having access to
malpractice insurance? Well, I didn't know you were going there. Yeah.
I'm just curious. Like,
well, that's one thing that entered my head is like, should definitely on the EMS side.
Yeah.
Shit, if doctors can have it, and now we're going to be held to the same standard, but probably a little higher. You can't make mistakes. And working in the field, there's a lot more unknowns than working in a hospital. So, yeah, I mean, probably should. On the fire side, so I wouldn't call it, you wouldn't call it malpractice, would you?
It's like an umbrella.
Operations
pile.
Insurance.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like I.
So you probably need some sort of operational insurance, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean.
Who's going to pay that? Cities?
I don't know, man.
Right? You should, right?
Okay, so let's say this, right? Since we're living in Crazy Town, if I'm the city, what I would do is I would set a standard of training and physical fitness and all of the things that would be required for you to get like a good health insurance rate, right? If you're a smoker, you're...
Well, let's back up a little bit. If you're going kind of on the same lines, if you're going to get a policy for like operational insurance,
sure,
and you're the provider, you would want to make sure, I mean, those would be some prereqs of like, well, they better fucking be in shape.
No kidding.
Right? I mean...
And know what they're doing. Have some sort of competency when it comes to
the training. Man, it's hard because I was watching a video the other day and it just talks about, and we've known this for a while, but what do cities do when they have types of calls or the citizens or the public need help in certain aspects that they have no other department for? Who gets it?
We do.
Fire.
Yeah.
Right? Doesn't matter what it is. Man, we're spread thin on like the training for that. You know, and
oh, yeah.
And I think in the past, up until recently, it's been like, okay, well, like they're kind of the best we've got and we can't really have a department for this, but they're willing to go out there and give it their best shot and we're okay with that. And maybe now people are expecting like, well, if that's who's coming, they better know what the hell they're doing. They better be the experts. And there's a lot of stuff that we know a lot about, but we're not the experts.
And you might, there's going to be varying degrees of that, right? Like if you are having a water problem, which is something that we go on all the time, and you have 3 or 4 21-year-olds show up that have never owned a home, they've never had any experience in the trades, and you're expecting the fire department to show up to help you, or you could call the next day and you get a bunch of 40 and 50-year-olds who own rentals and have no problem fixing.
Your fire could happen from one day to the next, and you could get two completely different crews.
Two different outcomes.
From whatever wherever house you're, you know, they're coming from.
Yeah, your life.
Two different outcomes.
Could depend on whoever's on shift that day.
Sure.
That's wild. Because, and this is just my opinion, is because we allow such varying standards of performance on our fire departments.
Not varying. We just allow a minimum standard.
I'm okay with a minimum standard.
Well,
minimum as long as your minimum standard is really high.
Yeah, that's not a minimum standard. Have high standards.
Sure it is.
You got to have high standards.
Well, no, your minimum standard is
like high standards. And if they don't meet it, they still be okay. If you don't meet a minimum standard, we got problems.
That's right, but it's okay to raise the floor and don't worry about what the ceiling is. Like, you have to raise that base level of what your minimum standard
is. Don't you raise the floor? Or don't you raise the standard and then you don't have to worry about the floor?
Well, that would be obviously be the best case scenario, but we don't live like that.
Okay.
We have to have a minimum standard that is very high. Like, other people's high standard would be our minimum standard. And I think that would be my goal.
Yeah.
Is to not let there be so much variability day to day of who's going to show up to your house. Are they going to be able to find your kid? How many bottles worth of work can they do? Like, we need to bring all of that up to snuff if we want to stand a chance with stuff that's going on like
this. You have to pay a lot more if you're going to...
I disagree, man.
If you're going to hold people, like if liability on a fire ground could put you in court and potentially you face jail time, you're going to have to pay them a lot more.
That's fair. But
some statute's written that provides immunity, which probably is not far off, to be honest.
I hope so.
I mean, because then you're going to get nobody that will do it.
Well, I mean, if you mess up, you should be held accountable. But if you follow the rules...
So miss a victim in a smoky environment, is that messing up or is that following the rules?
See, this is where things get...
Hey, from day one, it looks like on this training we have here that from day one when you were hired 15 years ago, you practiced searching in a blacked out conditions.
Okay, here's where I will push back.
And you're trained to find people in these types of conditions.
Yeah, I agree with you, but where our training lacks, and this is coming from someone who is currently training the next generation of firefighters, is we train people to search in concrete buildings with maybe, you know, a few odds and end pieces of furniture that we were able to scrape together. But then you go to an actual structure fire and it's hoarder conditions, which the majority of our department, most departments, have never trained for, because it's really expensive to try and get a hoarder prop constructed that would allow you to train like that. We also have, you know, pretty tight restrictions on how we can do live fire. Mm-hmm. So if someone were to ask me, well, you've been trained professionally to search for these things. No, we haven't. We're doing a disservice to our people by training them the way that we are. And this is coming from...
We can't get actual real game reps.
No.
That's the problem.
People don't burn pallets in their house. Like, I get it. You can get it hot, but it's so different when you have a bedroom set.
Or ever-changing conditions or not knowing what the inside looks like and everywhere you go.
Yeah, like I would make an argument that we aren't really doing a good job of training our people.
I think we're doing the best job we can.
100%.
With standards in place, but... It's probably not, you know, some of the best training, I think, was a lot of those NIST tests that came out of Governor's Island and stuff. If we could do more training like that and actually go inside, and that would help out. I mean, and there's a lot to be learned by just watching that stuff, but
it's
hard to do on a local level for sure. That takes a lot of money.
I mean, there are companies out there that I think do a good job of putting on good search trainings, Brothers in Battle being one of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I thought this was just interesting based on what has been going on in Colorado and what is soon to be coming to a town near
you. Oh, yeah.
So, all right.
Firefighter arrested for trying to fight Tennessee fire in different district.
All right, you're going to have to explain this one to me.
Jacob Wellbaum had to be physically removed from a house fire more than 30 miles beyond his assigned district. A Nashville firefighter has been arrested for responding to a house fire that was raging beyond the borders of his assigned district. Wellbaum, 31 years old, was in Murfreesboro on the evening of December 18, 2023, when he made his way to a burning home. Rutherford County firefighters were already on scene attacking the blaze when Wellbaum approached him.
Oh, so this guy's off duty?
Yeah, well, yeah. Despite his willingness to help him, Wellbaum was told by fire officials to step aside and move away. And according to the local news outlet, an arrest affidavit alleges Wellbaum didn't listen and instead unlawfully took the protective gear and breathing apparatus off of Rutherford County Fire and Rescue truck. They allege he then entered the home and began shouting orders at Rutherford County firefighters. He had to be physically removed from the scene. No one was home when the fire broke out, and he's charged with 5 counts of reckless endangerment and 1 count of disorderly conduct.
And 1 count of being a dork.
He's still working with Nashville Fire Department, but has been placed on alternate duty.
Oh, my gosh. What does he do for Nashville? Does he clean the toilets?
Firefighter.
All right. You work for Nashville, right? I assume Nashville gets some fires.
Great town, by the way.
Love Nashville.
Yeah.
And then you're off duty, and 30 minutes away, there's a fire. And you're like, I got to go. There's no way they can put this out without me.
I'm the man.
You're a dork.
I need to get in there and tell them how to do this.
He might be upgraded to a dweeb.
Dork to dweeb.
Yeah, that's way worse.
Where does dumbass fall on that?
That's actually...
Hey, but here you go. I mean, does he have a duty to act?
Oh, Jesus, Tom. Reaching. No,
we don't need to get into this. This is a funny story. And it's I'm sure there's a bunch of firefighters that have done stuff like this, but it was pretty...
What a nerd.
Pretty funny. Okay, buddy, just...
I gotta go. They can't do
this. It's like you call 911 for a car accident, and it's like, you could just report the car accident, but you gotta say, I'm an off-duty firefighter and paramedic, and there's a car accident here. No, just call it in, man.
And then just go just home. Call it in. Or do nothing.
Call it in, and when they show up, if... Do you guys need me to stick around? Do you need a witness statement? No. I think they'll figure it out.
Listen, just don't do anything.
Well, you...
If you're on a rural road, that was hard. If you're on a rural road,
rural
juror,
Jesus,
and you see someone broke down and like you know that there's not another car coming for hours, sure. But if you're on 225 at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, just keep going.
Do you call?
No.
You know somebody else is calling?
Absolutely. Unless I have skills and abilities that like, if I don't stop, something really bad's going to happen. I will. But otherwise...
If I can't affect the outcome.
Exactly.
I don't want to get in the way.
Exactly.
Okay.
Dog stolen from Colorado Fire Station.
That's fucked up.
It's fucked up, dude. Franktown. So, Franktown firefighters say someone stole their dog from their firehouse. Tough, a 12-week-old border collie, was inside a crate inside the fire station.
Is he the station dog if he's only 12 weeks old?
I'm assuming.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
It's this dude's dog that he brought in.
Okay, so it's not the station dog.
I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah, he was at the station inside station 183. 183, yeah. How do they do the station numbers? But yeah, he was inside the station. They go back. Dog's gone. Someone stole
what they were doing.
What's that?
Somebody knew what they were doing. Inside job.
You think it's an inside job?
100%.
If anyone knows.
Why are you going to a small fire station like that and stealing a dog? It's an inside job.
Ex-girlfriend.
Could be.
Let's come up with a story that's not true.
Ex-boyfriend.
Ex-boyfriend. Okay, how are they getting in?
You are calling 911, and when they respond,
you sneak in. Side of the building
and sneaking in.
Cold-blooded. Yep. All right.
Small fire station, they don't have much security, you know?
Okay. If someone's down in Franktown knows what happens to Tough, let us know. Oh, okay. Yeah. Sure.
I mean, we've been going a while, right?
Talk down to me like that.
Well, I mean, if you want to see if you can top this one.
Oh.
Miami-Dade investigating hidden camera in firehouse bathroom. What I like about this is
there's a lot you like
the
about
incident
this.
Reportedly occurred at station 69, then located in Doral. That's what piqued my interest.
You're a child.
What? I mean, do we really care about the rest of the story?
No. Have a good night, everybody. Show's over.
I mean, so hidden camera in firehouse bathroom. Like, would you want? I wouldn't want to watch that.
Well, listen.
Like, I don't.
I'm not here to kink shame. Okay. I have a feeling that there's
kink shame.
Yeah, kink shame. Like people who are into stuff, that's cool.
What are you looking for? Like, what are you looking for in a firehouse bathroom?
Listen, first.
Other than like weird dudes looking to film chicks.
Well, right? I think that is what.
But coming with that is a lot of dudes taking dumps, among other things. You really want that?
I think some people are into like that voyeuristic kind of vibe.
The camera was aimed at a shower. I mean, that's pretty much it. They found a camera. Do you ever look around the station? And there was a time. There was a time at our department where I'd look around stations and be like, is there cameras around here?
Oh, I never think about cameras. I always think like when I'm working with certain people, I'm looking for them fucking with me.
Like recording?
No. Oh. Like they're going to prank me. Like every time I open up a thing, I'm doing it real slow. Yeah, like, okay. Oh man, I'm about to get soaked. Never really worried about the camera thing, but also I don't really care. You know what I'm saying? Like you want to watch me? Go ahead. Go ahead. I don't care.
Yeah. Would you sue if?
Yes. Give me that cheddar. not that I'd actually be pissed off about it.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, all right. Well,
that's payday, baby.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I actually, if I were going to set up a hidden camera, ready for this? I would do it at the kitchen table. That would be the best TV show ever.
Just more of a camera or just microphone?
I think we have some.
Problem is that's happening too much. I don't like it.
This is not for serious. Like if you could have a closed circuit.
Oh yeah, just a
closed
it.
Circuit yeah. That just firefighters.
Hey, fellas, B shifts up now. Sit back. Let's see what they're talking about.
Like I think you talk to all these retired folks, and they're like, "What do you miss the most?" And they're like, "Oh, dude, hanging out at the table."
Yeah.
And if you had like a closed circuit,
it's basically an audible group chat.
Whew, that is dangerous.
Everybody's going to jail.
That is dangerous. Straight to jail.
Jail? Jail time.
Straight to jail. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's where I would do it. Or like in the cab, looking back. I think that is just some of the funniest moments of my life have been coming back from calls. You know?
Yeah, you don't want to record any of that stuff.
I mean, in it.
But I know what you're saying.
If like you it could have funny. It in your own private
yeah.
file. Do you want to? I have one more. Do you want to save it?
No, let's do it.
Okay. This is basically in Providence, Rhode Island. They had a hiring of 1,000 firefighters.
At once?
Yes.
What happened?
They scrapped it all to start to do lateral transfers. Instead of.
Did they volunteer?
This is for like the whole state.
Oh, all right.
And so. My question on this one.
What are you talking about? Is this like a statewide super bid?
Yeah. So it's like a statewide, like how we had the Dr. Cog here.
Yeah.
And instead of doing that, instead of putting on like these academies for 1,000 new brand new firefighters, they're going to start doing laterals. My question is, do you think that that is a good move?
You have to explain this to me a little bit more.
What do you mean?
There's all these departments that are existing and have members.
Well, yeah, they're already on. I'm saying for new hires.
Where's the 1,000 come in? Because that's how many are needed across the state?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so instead of doing brand new hires, they scrapped the academies and are going to start doing lateral transfers to save money.
From anywhere. I mean, that's one thing about the fire service that's always been tough is like if you want to go work somewhere else, you can't, you know, you got to start all over.
Yeah.
That's become easier, I think, with laterals.
Totally.
I don't think I have a problem with it. I mean, if you're looking to get in, then Rhode Island might not be the place. You have to go somewhere else and you can lateral in.
As a lateral, I do think there's a place for it, but also like bringing people up from like day one in your organization, I think that has a lot of value.
Yeah.
You know, like teaching them this way, this is kind of how we do it instead of trying. And it takes more time. It takes more money. Than a lateral who can just kind of come in and within a few months, you're kind of good to go.
All right, so let's use a sports analogy.
I don't know about sports, Tom.
Well, I mean, you're in college, right? And you're playing a sport. And
I go to college online.
Let's just say you go to junior college and you transfer to Division One or Division Two.
Okay.
So your Division One, Division, you got to be a lateral, right?
Yep.
So you just got to put your time in somewhere else. And then, you know, it's all about the program, whatever you build. So you can still, I think, establish your culture. You just have laterals
that have to kind of adapt to that culture. Do you think that's harder to do in the fire service, though?
Yeah, because, like, everything is, every skill, and there's so many ways to do things. It's all, everybody's got an opinion.
If you go to Alabama to play football, like, you're doing it their way, regardless. Yeah, right. But if you go to a fire department that has 30 stations, three shifts, I mean, it's kind of hard to, like.
It's one of the nuances of fire services. You could have 10 different departments or whatever.
Within a department. Yeah.
But each battalion could be different on every shift, you know?
Which is kind of like I think that's a good thing.
Good and bad.
Right? Like if you are a certain type of person, you can find your people. But the bad side is that if you want to hide, you can do that too. Yeah. You know? I don't know. I think that at least out here, like the laterals seems to be within the last like 5-10 years has been like the way to go. I don't know if it benefits not to have anybody that's kind of come up through the process. You know, like I was a lateral at a.
It depends on your process.
Yeah.
So if you run a good process, then yeah, I think you can get the right people if you have good interviews. You have good, you know, high expectations, you know, you run a good academy, whether it's like a shortened academy. I think it just all depends on the organization. You can get good laterals if, you know, you really design a program that picks the right ones and trains them the right way. Because, I mean, there's benefit to, you didn't grow up here, but if you've got a culture of we want to learn about everybody's different perspectives and we want to learn your way and you learn our way, then I think that can be a pretty good system. But I never thought that the system of like you're here now, you're gonna do it our way, that never works like as well as it can.
Yeah, but like is your way that great?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. We've talked about how like recruitment when you go to college and stuff like that. Yeah. If you want to recruit laterals, I would go to small conferences and I would scout. I'd sit back like
you mean recruit laterals in the fire service.
Yeah, I would go to classes and I would scout. I'd have everyone's name down. I'd have the gun thing, timing them, right? Isn't that what they do for baseball? Yeah, anyways.
Oh, man.
And I would just be like, hey, I want you to come play for us.
It's called recruiting.
But like targeting laterals.
Yeah.
I think that in conjunction with your idea of going to colleges for new hires, that could be super team.
Yep.